The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome again. On this week, focusing on compassion, and today turning our attention to metta, loving kindness. Yesterday, I was joining you from the Redwood Forest in Santa Cruz, where I now live, and today I'm in San Francisco, in the downstairs of San Francisco Zen Center. So the scenery is different, the sounds are different, the practice continues wherever we are. So I thought I would start with a simple story. Having just recently moved to Insight Retreat Center, I'm discovering the flora and the fauna. And I was sitting on my porch, doing some work on the computer, and I noticed a little bird. I think a junco, had a black head, and then landed on the railing next to me. I thought, well, that's interesting. And then it took me a minute to realize this. They were standing on an empty bird bath. And so the bird was, I'm now anthropomorphizing, but I was imagining as the head was turning, it was saying to me, where is my water? Where is my water? Please give me some water. And it was so natural. It was just so, it was like so easily putting one and one together. This arising of, oh yes, clearly I can help this being right now. I can offer my support in this simple way. And I felt this metta wish come up. Oh, little one, may you be safe. May you take care of yourself with ease. May you be protected. And so I filled up the bird bath and bird had a drink and then flew off. In that context, it simply made sense to put down what I was doing. My laptop was much less important than offering some care to this bird. So an instance of friendliness. Thinking about metta. Metta, we talk about as an attitude of benevolence or an intention of benevolence. It has these connotations or layers also of protection and this basic disposition of friendliness. All of that is there, it turns out, in the etymology of the word benevolence. This is a disposition to do good. It apparently comes from the Latin for good feeling, goodwill, kindness, which breaks down into the Latin for well and wish. It's so perfect. the perfect word for metta, benevolence. So metta practice, though I deliberately offer a simple example of how metta can show up in one's life, metta can actually operate along a spectrum. It can be quite simple and specific, like offering water to this bird, or it can be quite powerful and directed to all beings. So metta fills this whole range and has quite a transformative power. And the Visuddhimagga, one of the stages of metta development in that path, is what they call breaking down the barriers, where the wish for well-being becomes so pervasive that it equally shines on all beings. One of the very practical teachings regarding metta is that we don't have to do it only on the meditation cushion. In some ways, I borrow this from Bhikkhu Anālayo. He says, metta, loving kindness, benevolence, provides the practical scope for expressing one's compassionate intent. To me, I hear this as, when I have the wish for others to be free from suffering, I can enact that through metta. And this is possible because we can practice metta through our body, through our speech, and then with our thinking. I love this aspect of metta, that it's actually made manifest through our concrete actions. They can be big, they can be small. I want to illustrate this this way that this metta can be so practical and manifest in our everyday actions. There's a sutta that I point to a lot, Majjhima Nikaya 31, the Chula Gosinga Sutta, in which Venerable Anuruddha and two other monks are living together, Venerable Nandiya, Venerable Kimbila. The Buddha comes to visit them, and I love this. After the three monks pay respects to the Buddha, they all sit down, and the Buddha asks them a kind question. He simply says, I hope you're all keeping up well. I hope you're comfortable. And I hope you're not having any trouble getting supporting yourselves, getting alms food. And Anuruddha responds, oh, we're keeping well. We're able to feed ourselves well. Then the Buddha says, oh, I hope you're living in concord with mutual appreciation, without disputing, blending like milk and water, viewing each other with kindly eyes. Anuruddha affirms that they are, and then the Buddha asks, oh, how are you doing this? And this is where metta becomes concrete. Anuruddha says that he regularly reflects on what a gain it is to be practicing in Sangha, to be practicing in community with these other two monks. That he says, it's a gain for me, a great gain that I'm living with these companions. This is part of the joy when I sign on in the mornings for the 7 a.m. Sangha and I see all the greetings. And I hear Anuruddha, oh, this is a gain for us. This is a gain for us, practicing with our companions. And then Anuruddha says, as to how they're living in concord, he says, I do bodily acts of loving kindness toward these others. That is to say, he does actions for them or for the whole with an intention of benevolence. May you be happy. May this being be happy. Oh, I'll take care of this. I'll take care of this. May you be happy. There's an added dimension that these monks, they're not only doing bodily actions of loving kindness and benevolence, but they're doing them both in ways that can be seen and ways that can't be seen. And both of those are effective. They're not doing metta for the to look good to each other. They're doing it to nourish this wish. May we be happy. But not only do they do bodily acts, but also verbal acts of loving kindness. They say both openly and privately. And then mental acts of loving kindness. Maybe the appreciation practice that Anuruddha mentioned could be an example of that. And then the last part of this section is that Anuruddha says they put aside their preferences. This way they say, why should I not set aside what I wish to do and do what these venerable ones wish to do? Then I set aside what I wish to do and do what these venerable ones wish to do. We are different in body, venerable sir, but one in mind, he says to the Buddha. Venerable Anālayo has an important comment about this last bit, about setting aside what we wish to do. He makes the observation that All three of these monks are engaging in that part of the practice. So it's not an instance of one powerful personality dominating the group and the others sort of go along. But all three of them instead have maybe this perspective of what's best for the whole, what's best for all of these beings. And they act in accord with that rather than their personal preference. So I love this, that metta can be manifest in body, speech, and mind. And there are two important ways that this connects to our compassion practice. And both of these are illustrated by an image from later Buddhist tradition of compassion as like a tree. Compassion like a tree. And then metta, benevolence, is like the root of the tree. And just in the way that the root of a plant provides two functions, it serves as a foundation and it provides nourishment. And it's just the same with metta. So metta provides the foundation by being the foundational Brahma-vihara, this first of the heart practices in the four of metta, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. Metta provides the foundation. And then it also provides the nourishment. I think we get a sense of that when we look at the way that Anuruddha, Nandiya, Kimbilo were living together, that practicing metta, even just on the level of intention, but then also making it manifest in our body, speech, and mind, how it nourishes the heart. You have a feeling for this? Maybe in contrast, we can consider the way that ill will comes with a cost, whereas an attitude of benevolence can actually feed, nourish. There's a way in which all four of the Brahma-vihara practices work together and balance each other. Compassion can have this way that if we're not particularly careful, or if we don't watch out for this, it is possible, because we're reflecting on someone who is having difficulty, may you be free from suffering. There's a possibility of elevating oneself. And then we get into what the Visuddhimagga calls the near enemy of compassion, which is pity. Metta protects against this, or it works as a counterbalance, because metta shines on everything and everyone equally. I'll close with the image of the way Anālaya talks about the four Brahma-viharas. He talks about all four of them is like the sun shining. Metta is like the sun at noon, shining brightly and equally on everyone. Compassion is like sunlight at sunset. Darkness is right nearby, but the sunlight is shining all the more beautifully. Sympathetic joy is like sunrise. All this joy, like bird singing. And then equanimity, the last of the four Brahma-viharas, is like at midnight, the cool shining of the light of the moon. I leave you with this morning, this complete set of practices. May our metta, may our goodwill nourish our compassion, and may it benefit both our own practice and everyone, all beings, everyone we encounter, everyone they encounter, and on and on. May all beings be happy. May they be free.